Okay, we're continuing in the Shabbos Malkus on page Kuf Yud Ches. And we're discussing the topic now of Onesh Chilul Shabbos, the punishment of desecrating the Shabbos. We left off with a question: why is the punishment for desecrating the Shabbos so stringent that it has the most severe type of death penalty? Well, for example, if a person would burn a Sefer Torah, right, you'd only get lashes and you wouldn't be killed at all. And, you know, if you think the reason was because, well, you know, Shabbos is the basis of our emunah and our faith, and without that you don't have anything. But again, if you're burning a Sefer Torah, that is the basis of our emunah too. It can't be any greater heresy than that. So why is we so strict about the Shabbos and the death penalty comes? So we're at the bottom paragraph of Kuf Yud Ches now. V'heichan matzanu mitzvah doima. So where do you have a mitzvah that's like the mitzvah of Chilul Shabbos in terms of punishment? So we're following up on the chapter we just finished. Binyan Beis HaMikdash, regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'al stia ktana ba'avodah. For the slightest deviation in the service in the temple, kfar yesh onesh misa, you get the death penalty. Okay, where's the first time we see that in the Torah? When Nadav and Avihu came into the Holiest of Holies, boom. That was it. No second chances. They were killed immediately. Shebechol ha-mitzvahs, in all the mitzvahs, lochiv ha-torah miyad oinish misa. There's no other place where you immediately get punished. Ve'ilu b'mikdash b'shvil dover katan b'yosek for a chayiv misa. In the base of English, for the smallest thing, you chayiv misa. Hazor ha-korev you must. If a non-kohen walks in and tries to do the service, he's put to death. Below Big Day Kahuna, if a coin goes in without his garments, special garments, Hare Kazar Ubamisi is like a stranger going in and gets killed. We got a Merushalam and Sulakim, it's clothing that are whatever, they're not fit, they're either damaged or whatever. So also, Puzzle, it's not good. Kazar Ubamisi, he's like a non coin and he deserves to get killed. Muchlachim, Puzzle, dirty clothes. Even if there's just an intervening substance between his body and the garments, puzzle, it's no good, and it's chayv misa. Right? The Gemara even goes so far to even have a shayla. Even if a wind would blow between his body and the garments, and to pick up the garment a bit, would that be considered an intervening substance, the wind, if he'd be chayv misa? Okay. Which we don't find anywhere else in the Torah where a person gets the death penalty for that, for a sin that is the minutest of minutest. Right? So this is similar to Shabbos, where Shabbos, you do the simplest indiscretion purposely, you're put to death. So we got to understand what's doing in the Beis HaMikdash there. And to appears the way to explain this awesome concept. Let's say a person has a sickness in one of his body parts. And the doctor says, you need an operation. So during the operation, a doctor who wasn't such an expert, not such a good doctor, Sita ma'at, he deviated a bit from the plan, and he makes the incision and he cuts in a place that wasn't the right place. Right? Makes a mistake. How bad is the mistake? What will be the consequences? So what's the answer to the question? It depends where he makes the mistake. Right? If we're talking about one of the more external organs, like a hand or a foot, even though a bit of a deviation can cause a discernible damage, he's missing a foot. But in general, it won't be an accident that will cause his death. Generally speaking, if it's the more external the organ is, so the mistake is less damaging, although it's something we don't want to live with anyway. What if we're talking about the heart or the brain? He's doing a brain surgery and he's off by a millimeter. Right? Well, Harestia Kalashibakalas, the lightest mistake, the littlest deviation. Mashu mina mashu, the littlest of little. He usan bedefesh. This will be an accidental death. This will be terrible. As we know in our time, nasim tachas microscope. We know that the nowadays the surgeries that are done on the heart and on the brain, they're done with microscopes. It shows you how detailed and how fine the laser beam has to be. Shebevarim pnimim elu, and for these innermost organs, hakol kol kach adin umeduyek shestia kalabios aluli gramosim nefesh, that everything is so adin, is so refined, detailed, and exacting, that the smallest deviation can cause death. Right, that we understand, right? So we're going to say is there's certain mitzvahs that are like the heart and the mind. This is the Beis HaMikdash. Shumamish Mokom Halev Vamoach Shel Olam. The Beis HaMikdash is the heart and mind of the world. Shemisham Yotzeis Hachius Olam. Because from here, from there, comes out the life for the world. Valkein Shonahu Mikola Mitzvah Shem Torah. Therefore, it's different than all the Mitzvahs of the Torah. Shekola Mitzvahs Heima Kimoshol Chitzonius Aguf. All the other Mitzvahs, like in our parable, they're like external organs. Okay, now will be shy absent by God. Even though the loss is great, a dying angel, but never, it's not going to be totally destructive. Mashen came beis hamigdash. How we say aleva moach. The beis hamigdash is the heart and the mind. And therefore, the damage, the danger, is so great when there's any kind of a mistake. Uksiv, and it says in the book of Koheles, notati b'meitz kol pri. I planted in them. For them, a tree of every kind of fruit. And Rashi explains over there, what did Shlomo have to say? Shlomo makir b'chach maso es gidei ha'aretz. Shlomo, in his wisdom, could recognize in his wisdom all the different roots of the world. All the different, really a gid is a vein or an artery, you know, but it's he's trying to say like the roots of where the soil is rooted from. Okay, that's what he understood. When he looked at a piece of land, he knew where the root of that land was. For example, Eza Gid Holech Aleretz Kush, which vein, so to speak, comes from the land of Kush, and Kush was very good for peppers, so Venatabo Palpul, so he planted peppers. Eza Holech Aleretz Cheruvin, which one was really rooted in the land of Cheruvim, Venatabo Cheruvim, he planted Buxer. Shekol Gid Haratzos Boim Litzion, but the truth is, all these veins, so to speak, of the lands, they all come from Tzion, the Beis HaMikdash, Shemesham Mishisisu Kol Olam, that from there the whole world unfolded. Shenemar Mitzion Michlal Yofi, from all the beauty comes from Tzion. Lekach Nemar, therefore it says, Eitz Kol Pari, therefore it says, Eitz of the Eitz Kol Pari. Okay, Menesh Tzion Chuna, we'll look over there. But what's he saying? He's just using it as an analogy. That there's roots. There's roots to everything. And the root for everything really comes from Yerushalayim. Even in an agricultural way. How it is and what it is, okay, it's beyond what we can understand. But that's the roots. Because that mamish in yaleva moach, and that's the idea of a heart and a mind, shemehem yotzim kolat savim v'ridi hadam l'chalguf. From there come all the different arteries. Everything comes from the heart. Right? Everything comes from the heart. You know, the different vessels and all the different body parts that are there. It all comes from the heart, all comes from the brain. Everything is rooted from those two things in terms of the circulatory system, in terms of the brain waves, the heart, the mind. It all is rooted from there. The Beis HaMikdash is the root of all existence. That was the foundation stone. When God created the world, the first patch of matter that was planet Earth was right under where the Beis HaMikdash was. So everything comes from there. Everything still comes from the blessings in the entire world all go through Yerushalayim and through the Beis HaMikdash. It's all there. So you can understand how damaged the world is when there is no Beis HaMikdash. It's like a world without a heart, without a mind. That's what it is. Without a heart, without a mind. It's damaged. It's big damage. You can imagine, Chas V'Shalom, the mind was damaged. We couldn't do anything. We're a crippled people. We're a crippled world. Umamish osa inigam b'Shabbos kodesh. We find the same thing with Shabbos. She'amakor l'chol kedushas. It's the root of all holiness. V'leiv ha'olam. It's the heart of the world. V'chein kol kach amor chilul Shabbos. That's why the desecration of Shabbos is so severe. V'afil v'masa kol show. Even the littlest deviation. Kimen shemedumer b'toch ha'leiv ha'mach. We're talking about the heart and the mind. It's such an important thing. And the slightest deviation is life-threatening. Okay, so that's a nice analogy. So, how do we see this? Like, so he's saying it is. Is it? So the emes and the truth is, mashi is barnu lama b'shabbos b'esamigdash yishkpeda kol kach al stiyav kichud asar. So the truth is, the way we've explained why for Shabbos and Mesa Mingdash such a particularness about the slightest deviation, like a hair's breadth, because they're compared to the heart and to the mind. The truth of the matter is, it's really the opposite. When you look at the body of a person, why is it that the heart and the mind are so precious and so fragile that the slightest deviation will cause, you know, the whole life depends on it? Because that's the place, truly, where the person meets his Creator. And they are the Beis HaMikdash within a person. What does he mean to say? Zeh Lashon HaRambam. This is Lashon HaRambam. And as we know, we learned long ago from Rav Chaim Volozhin that the world is a that the Beis HaMikdash is a microcosm of the world, and a person is a microcosm of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Malbim goes through and explains how every body part relates to a different part of the Beis HaMikdash. Different part of the Beis HaMikdash. Coming in right now. Zelashon HaRambam. That's what the Rambam says in the Ma'ariv Nebuchim. In other words, here's the question. We are physical beings, right? We're physical beings. Physical, right? Okay, you get beneath the surface, it gets a little bit more, you get a little less physical. I mean, blood is less physical than skin. It gets to the point where we deal with the biochemistry of the person. That's really where the person's at. Okay, but so at what point, you've got things very refined now, right? When you get into the brain, right, you're dealing with things that are so small, but they're still there. At what point does the soul join with the body? Where does that happen? It's got to happen somewhere. Like, you know, you got a soul, you got a body. Where's the connection point? It's got to be the connection point. Where the soul keeps the body alive. So where's the tunnel? Where's the tube? Where's the opening? Where's the connecting point where the spirituality is touching? So say Adam hu nefesh. The blood is the soul. All right, so what does that mean? So where is that point? So says the Rambam, V'da achi, my brothers, you should know, Shehaseichel asher shofa aleinu mehashem yisala hu adibuk asher beinenu lebeino. The intellect which Hashem pours into us, that is the point of connection between us and between Him. Look over there. Sheshom ba'emes mokam ha-mifgash shelo orim in bar b'poel. The place where the seichel initiates from, that's the point of contact between the Creator and us, actively. And so does Hashem say, "Hu liban shel Yisrael." Hashem says, "I am the heart of the Jewish people." V'nimtza comes out, "Shalev hu metzias shel beis hamelech." The heart is the reality of the king's palace. Okay? Val kein, therefore, kol masa b'moach b'lev, every place with the heart and the mind, that's the place where you mamish have the stringency of being before Hashem. Okay. In other words, the heart and the mind is the point of contact between the body and the soul. That's what he's saying. That's the point of contact. And if that's where the presence of God in the human being is strongest. It's the strongest place of the reality is by the heart and by the mind. That's why they're so precious and so fragile. Because the situation of standing in front of a king creates a reality of trepidation and exactness and particularness on such an awesome level where you need the total perfection. If you're standing in front of a king, imperfection of the slightest isn't tolerated. Right? When the soldiers have to be at attention in Buckingham Palace on a day like today, where it's 95 degrees in England, and they're wearing those big streimlich, right? And I mean, I'm sure it is hot there, right? You can imagine the guy has to scratch his ear while the queen is walking by. Nothing doing, man. They're like statues. They don't move. Why? Because in honor of the queen, the king, you don't move a muscle. And if you do, without permission, that's it. It's reverence. You're so blown away by their reality, you can't move. So that's the same thing. You imagine in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yamamish, you can't move. So that part that's right there, at that connecting point, the heart and the mind, that is the holiest of holies. Yamamish, that's the spot. That's what the rabbi said. The heart and mind. That is the holiest of holies in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says, for example, can you imagine if a Jewish person would think of something that's very disgusting, even if he doesn't do it. But to think to do something very disgusting. So what have you done? You've brought something very strange into the holiest of holies of your own self. It's mamish. It's nothing less than that. It's exactly that. You can't bring a foreign idol. Can't bring an idol into the holies of holies. It was like taking. And he says, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar is able to take a zoyna, a harlot, into the holiest of holies and do what he did with her there. Only if Jews let things like that get into their holiest of holies. We're not talking about doing. Not even at the doing stage. Just the thinking stage. Thinking of such terrible things, you've brought in the worst things into the holiest of holies. So that's what you have. That is your Beis HaMikdash. Then that is your holiest of holies, and that's why that body part is so precious, so delicate, right? Because it has to be perfect. Because it's right. It's mamish where the nefesh is, the soul is meeting with. The human being, the physical part, right? For who mamish inyan beis hamikdash is mamish idea beis hamikdash shohisa bo hakpada neira al diuk ushleimus. There's so much particularness about perfection, because that's the place where God emanates from into this world. We have the place where God emanates into your body, the soul emanates into the body, and we have the soul of the world, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the soul of the world, where he emanates into the world via Yerushalayim. Mamish via Yerushalayim and via the holiest of holies. That place, the Kohen Gadol came on Yom Kippur, he had to make sure he was so perfect. He was so totally focused on the spiritual. The slightest deviation, he's dead on the spot. He never wouldn't walk out on Yom Kippur. Because that's point center. You have to mamish be so focused on that idea and nothing else but that idea. So that's a big thing. And as we've already said in the last chapter, that Shabbos has all the qualities of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is your mamish in front of Hashem. The reality of Hashem is so compelling. Right? So mamish, you're in the presence of Hashem. Can you do the slightest violation to go against what Hashem says? To break the Shabbos? Because it's a... You know, and that's why, or not the same though, but that's why Jews were very reluctant to do any averus on Shabbos. That's why we said they were afraid to lie on Shabbos. because that's the opposite of Emes, which is Hashem. But okay, so you did this. You didn't need kosher on Shabbos. It's still not as bad as violating the Shabbos. The Shabbos is the essence. The Shabbos is Mikdash. The essence of the Shabbos is you're in front of Hashem. So to violate that aspect that talks about being in front of Hashem, right? That's the problem. In other words, when you're in a king's court, you know, you could do certain things, but the worst thing you do is show lack of respect for the king. To not recognize you're in the presence of the king. And that's what Shabbos is. The act of Shabbos is you're in the presence of the king. And that's why Hashem is very particular about that Shabbos. Okay, now obviously, you know, that's why nowadays, that's why it goes hand in hand. Why don't we stone Jews to death for not keeping Shabbos now? Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash now. If we had a Beis HaMikdash, people could see on one level what it means that there's the presence of God. If you were in the Beis HaMikdash in its great glory, and then you'd be Mechal Shabbos, you'd be put to death. Because you've already seen something that shows us what it means to be in God's presence on one level. So now you know that that's true. It's not that they told you it. You know it. And now you know it's the same thing by Shabbos. If you desecrate the Shabbos, it's mamish. You flagrantly are doing this right in front of the king. So nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So we don't even understand what it means to be in the presence of Hashem. We just don't get it. So you think we're going to get it by Shabbos? Not going to get it either. So we can't stone a person. But to know that, but the truth is that's how bad it really is. If we really understood it, that's how bad it really is. Right? So he says, that's how he closes. V'hu adin, v'hu inyan mamish b'din Shabbos. It's mamish what Shabbos is. Shabbos he beis hamikdash u'mokam hashoras hashchina. Shabbos is the beis hamikdash and the place in time where the divine presence rests. U'b'meshach kol shos haShabbos, and during all those hours of Shabbos, ha'odim b'metzias b'matzav shal omad l'fnei ha'melech, he's in the reality of standing in front of the king, and therefore the slightest deviation is not tolerated at all. You know, so that's when people say, again, I keep going back to the same thing. People say, why can't I go to the beach on Shabbos? Because you don't go in your bathing suit in the palace. Why can't I wear my bathing suit when I'm at attention for the king? You know, they have these commercials now. You know, crazy commercials. You know, these guys there. I don't even know what it's for. I can't even figure out what it's for. You know, you saw these guys walking just with shorts in the middle of a place where everybody's dressed, right? You know, they give different examples of this, you know. You know, the guy, it's for a gum, right? I think it's like a mint gum, face. Refreshing. So he's staying at the bus stop. Meanwhile, a tidal wave, you know, gets every so good, and he's got his shorts. He's ready for it because he took the gum in his mouth, right? I'm just saying this idea. Where they show you, you know, the guy's half naked. Well, everybody, can you imagine a guy like that? You know, he's in front of the king. He's in front of the king. Comes to the king and it's gotchkes. You know, like what's going on? Like, what a chutzpah! What a chutzpah! How can you do such a thing? How can you do such a thing? You know, chassan comes to the chuppah in his gotchkes. Imagine the photographer say he's coming in his underpants. The cow would be insulted. You think the cow would be insulted a little bit? No, think she wanted to marry the guy? Idiot? What's doing? Even a frum girl wouldn't. Nobody would. What's his business over her? Is that chutzpah? Right? So that's that. The husband says, where are we going to have the wedding? On the beach. Of a beach party wedding. It's crazy. I'll show you how much, because they don't understand what wedding is. Can you imagine, you just don't do that. Imagine the cabinet, the White House cabinet would meet on the beach. You don't do certain things on the beach. It's not there. Right? You're in the king's presence. You're in the king's presence, for goodness sake. You want me in the king's presence on the beach? It's not the place. On Sunday you can go to the beach. Go swimming on Sunday, but Shabbos is Shabbos. Right? Shabbos, you're in the king's palace. You have to be dressed always like you're in the king's palace. You have to act always you're in the king's palace. And that's your greatest honor and your greatest kavod. Didn't people kill themselves to be able to be in the cabinet of the king? If you're a soldier, what was the most prestigious position? It's to be in the castle. in the palace. That's the most prestigious jobs. What's the most prestigious jobs even in the United States? To work in a White House. It's power. There's power there. You're a mover and a shaker. Right? And that's what we really are. When are we really movers and shakers? On Shabbos. That's when we're really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So can you imagine? Okay, you know, I'm going to turn the light on Shabbos. You're right in front of the... It's right there. How could you do such a thing? Can you do an aveira on Tuesday, Mela? Okay, it's not good. It's not good. But, okay, but you're not doing it in front of his face. And Shabbos mamish in front of his face. It's unbelievable. Right? So that's it all goes back to the same point. That's what Shabbos is. It's that mamish 100% connecting point that Kodesh Baruch Hu. And at that point, can you imagine a husband and wife? Husband's intimate with his wife. And while he's intimate, he talks about an affair he had with somebody. Or even if he didn't, he said, you know, you're not as pretty as my secretary. Just to say that. Didn't do anything. Mamish, a moment of intimacy. You're not as pretty as my secretary. That's it, man. I mean, it's, you know, you, if you said it in the during dinner, it's one thing. Not so good either. You'll pay for it. But Mamish, when you're intimate, boom! Forget it. You're done for. Right? So what do you do on Shabbos? You're in the king's palace and you light up right in front of the king. What's going on over here? So that's you see, you have to carry that reality. That's why you find times when gedolim, you know, mamish by mistake. Now you can understand why, even if you desecrate the Shabbos by mistake, it's not such a simple thing. Forget about flagrant. Flagrant, you get killed. What about not flagrant? Got to bring a korban. It's a big deal. It's still a big deal. He wakes up in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you're half asleep, you walk in the bathroom, you turn the light on. You didn't remember a Shabbos. Right? Or you walk out and turn it off.
More likely.
Right? The light was on before a Shabbos. You walk up and turn it off. Right? So what, you know, how could you not know you were in the king's palace? How could you not know you were in the king's palace? You know, Gedolim, if a Gadol was Mechal Shabbos by mistake, they'd be crying for hours. How could I have made a mistake and turn the light on? It's just where was I? It's just, how could you not know you're in the king's palace? You're in the king's palace. You're like your mom, the drapes and the fancy and the throne, you know, and you scratch your hair. And so, oh, I forgot I was in the king's palace. What do you mean you forgot you're in the king's palace? The throne's there. Right? So Shabbos is the same thing, mamish. The throne's there. It's there for the taking, for the seeing. So that's why Chilul Shabbos is such. It just shows how you just don't understand what's going on. How you disrespect. That's the real point. Notwithstanding, you know. So now you understand. Now you understand why Menucha is what Menucha is, as we explained a couple of weeks ago. Menucha isn't just resting. Menucha is what making the connection between connecting yourself to Hashem in a stronger way, and that doesn't happen by going to the beach either. Or playing, you know, playing. It's so funny. It's scary. You know, I'm a member of the RCA, so Rabbinical Council of America, so all Orthodox rabbis. And not every Orthodox rabbi is so Orthodox. So there's going a whole, you know, they dialogue things. You know, issues, they discuss issues, right? So the issue was billiards on Shabbos. Billiards on Shabbos. So the whole big machloek is back and forth. What's the shayla? You know, if you can do it, can't do it, this and that. So they say, well, it would be wrong if you chalk the what do you call it, the cue? What do you call it, the stick? Yeah. Right? Because then you'd be mamachek. You'd be, what do you call it, wearing out the chalk. You know, change. That was their mamash, their shayla. And one rabbi says, you know, you're trying to make all these stringencies. I think, is this an Orthodox rabbi? I don't understand. Yes, they're trying to debate it halachically. They don't know this stuff. No, it's not. It's like, you know, they don't understand the hashkafa. This young, you know, the rabbi's going to be 23, 24. You know, it's a young rabbinic student, you know. So it's like, so what's the problem? So, okay, I understand, go to a pool hall, they say, isn't right. But if you have in your basement, you have a pool table, you should be able to pay pool on Shabbos. you know, and start saying, you know, good father and son bonding time, grace, this and that. You know, it missed the whole idea. I mean, it's Shabbos. You don't play on Shabbos. Okay, it could be if a little kid, again, you have to know, everything you have to know, if you have little kids, and 6, 7-year-old kid can't learn Torah a whole day. They have to play. They have to play, right? It's, what do you mean? They got to play. So you shouldn't play things that are Chilul Shabbos. It's like Father said, we're going into the whole details of if you chalk up, is how much less good is the play if you don't chalk up, and they're giving proofs from different tournaments. Yeah, so who cares, you know? I mean, it's one thing. The heter is simple. If you have a kid and you mamish feel, and the kid has to play, and you're the only one who can play with him, and you're the father, and you have a pool table. Okay, you can play pool. I mean, you can do certain things with your kids as long as it's not clear Chilul Shabbos. Right? You can't write, right? You can play cards with. I mean, you got to know. You got to know. It's a fine. You got to play certain games. Not every game you can play. You can't be chess is fine. Checkers, those kinds of games for Shabbos with the kids, right? But it gets to the point we don't play anymore, right? Because you don't play checkers in front of the king. Right, that's the point. So now you can see, you know, this idea of Chilul Shabbos, why it has such a very, very big and important place in Yiddishkeit. Okay, I think that's very clear. It's very clear. Amen. Yes, sir. Where are we the other base of me?
Why no efforts are made to get back to that?
You're asking very good questions, Sam. What's our status with outer base of Migdash? Are we floundering? Why aren't we making efforts to build up to get back the base of Migdash? So that's what Tisha B'Av is all about.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. Why no efforts are made? I mean, why are we in constant mourning? We're going to be forever, generations after generations. I know.
Unfortunately, not enough. Unfortunately, not enough. People are not longing and yearning for the Beis Hamikdash. They're not, which really means they're not longing and yearning for Hashem. They don't want to be close to Hashem. That's what it really boils down to. They don't want to. They believe in Hashem, and Hashem, you're okay. Just you stay up there, and I'll stay down here, and I'll pay my respects from time to time, and Mirz Hashem, everything will be fine. And that's why Katusha rockets are going into all the cities in Eretz Yisrael. That's why. That's what we said on Shabbos. We spoke about on Shabbos. You know, this is the biggest tragedy of all, that people don't feel bad that there's no Beis Hamikdash. I mean, Yidden used to feel bad. You know, imagine a person was mamish, had a first marriage. He loved his wife, right? Mamish, and he married many years, and then the wife dies. You know, you never forget it, right? So, and if you forget it, that means where was the love, right? So, I mean, and this is more than just that. This is what the way the rabbis give an analogy. It's like a divorce. It's like the king divorces the queen, and the queen knows one day he's going to take me back. One day he's going to take me back. So you wish, when's the day going to come already? Right? We don't feel that anymore. It was something that was felt by Yidden 100 years ago. They did feel it. I mean, you know, Tisha B'Av Yidden cried. Because, you know, and the answer for that is very simple, because Golis was bad. Living in Europe 100 years ago was no picnic. Really was no picnic. And he understood what it meant. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. Because we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, that's why the Goyim do what they do to us. That's why our lives are so miserable, because we don't, and they understood it's because we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. You know, you live for so many years where things are good. Life can be good without a Beis Hamikdash. You know, Eretz Yisrael, the mighty Israel, is a great place to be without. You know, you have secular Jews. Nebuch. It's they don't know any better. That's all. You have secular Jews. Who says why should I ever visit Jerusalem? If Jews in Tel Aviv, a secular Jew in Tel Aviv, to go to Jerusalem, he says, "Are you nuts? What for? There's nothing fun. What would I do there?" Let's be honest. What can you do in Yerushalayim? If you're not spiritual, if you're not spiritual, what in the world is there doing in Yerushalayim? If you go to discotheques and you go to Chves, you go to the beach. I mean, a tourist goes to Israel, right? Like, what do you do? Where do you go? You go to Netanya. You go to Tzfat. Eilat isn't even Israel. That's the biggest joke of all. Eilat is not Israel. Like, what in the world are you going? You know, it is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's the state of Israel. It's not Eretz, it's not the Holy Land. Tzfat is not in the Holy Land. It's south of the desert. I mean, Eilat. I'm sorry. Eilat is not part of the Holy Land. It's not. And anybody goes to Israel, that's the first destination. Maybe the only destination. But okay, we'll go to Netanya, it's nice. Tel Aviv, it's like New York. You know, up north has some beautiful territory if you like to hike. The Dead Sea, that's amazing. Yerushalayim, okay, you know, they say, you know, it was... Okay, so I'll put in a token visit to the wall. They say it's important, though. Okay, so I have to do it, too. You know, I got to go to the wall. Okay, go to the wall, in and out, goodbye, let's move on. You know, if you like, architecture, okay, you're going to go for the tunnel tours to see what was historically a place. But there ain't much to write home about. It isn't a big tourist spot, Yerushalayim. Really isn't. If you're not religious, why in the world do you go there? A secular Jew, like, okay, they probably, you know, and they all have to go there once, you know that. All the soldiers have to pledge their allegiance at the Kotel. Okay, so they, but go say, you know, they have a chance to go to the Kotel. So they say, what for? It's like asking a secular human being, you know, you have a chance to go to church on Sunday. So they say, what do I want to do that for? You know, lahavdil. Right, so Yerushalayim is like, who want to go to Yerushalayim? Like, what for? There's nothing there. Chevron. What's there, right? Tzfat. You know, okay, it's good there's artists in Tzfat, believe me, or secular people wouldn't go to Tzfat either. What's there to do in Tzfat? Tveria. I mean, these are the least important cities in terms of secular fun and sun. I mean, Israel is a tourist spot because of the beaches. Finished. You know, beach? Man, nobody go, right? Unfortunately, the Christians, they really, the real Bible-belting Christians, oh, they go to Jerusalem. You know, them and the Frum Yidden. That's it. Right? Because they don't see it. So what do they say? That the place to be in Israel is far away from Israel. All right. So those are the ones that are getting. Unfortunately, that's the problems now. So Sam, to answer your question, it's a big problem. It's a big problem that the Jews don't realize. You know, when the Jews lived in Berlin. In the 1800s, and they were asked, you know, why don't you come back to Eretz Yisrael? And they said, Berlin hi Yerushalayim. Berlin is Jerusalem. When you say Berlin is Jerusalem, then a Holocaust has to happen. That's all there is to it. If you think Toronto is Yerushalayim, Holocaust has to happen. It's history. It's not Machalowitz. It's history talking, right? So, you know, people figure, you know, Tel Aviv. What do I need anything else? I have Tel Aviv. I've got this. I got that. Haifa, so it isn't. It just isn't, and that, you know, that's why the bombs are flying. At the end of the day, the bombs are flying for one reason: wake up. You got to get it, guys.
That's why.
It's always in the summer. It's not, you know, always in the summer. You know, those are the critical, you know, things that have been happening. It's the 3 weeks. God wants us to remember. God wants us to remember what's going on over there, right? So, you know, so that's why, you know, so we talked about on Shabbos at Shal Shittes, you know, can you imagine the chutz would want to have the international gay parade in Yerushalayim?
Yes, for a whole week.
For 6 days. 6 days. Right? 6 days to turn the holy city into the homo city. It's a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah. Even if you're a liberal-minded person, you have no decency to know that any religious person views this spot as the most religious place in the world. Have a sensitivity. Can you imagine? Do a liberal parade in a church? I mean, just don't do such a thing. Even if you're a liberal person, you don't do such a thing. You got the whole Eretz Yisrael to make a gay parade. You can't find a better place. There's plenty secular places in Israel. Go to Tel Aviv. Go to Haifa. Go to Eilat. It's the best place. Then it won't even be Eretz Yisrael. Right? I mean, a little sensitivity. You know, even Ilahavdil, you have to have the chief rabbi of Israel has to go to the Pope to get his help. It shows you the people of the gay movement forget about everything that they have to say it's my DNA, I have no control. But you don't have control to be a mensch. I felt bad for the Christians. I have to emiss. In the year 2000, the gay parade was in Rome. Even the Pope and 1.1 billion Christians couldn't stop them. It shows you the people behind the gay movement, the bottom line is they're not a mensch. Forget about anything else. You don't have any sensitivities. To what extent you have to do things to get acceptance in the world? You don't care about anyone else's sensitivities? No, it has to be in the holy, where everyone recognizes it as the holiest city in the world. We're going to show that this is also a holy thing. You know, and you know it's upsetting people. So, no, bedafka, where it's going to upset you, right? So when the state of Israel says, you know, we're going to have the gay parade here. You know, do you think Kodesh Baruch was going to sit there taking it lightly? This is, if you understand, and they don't understand, but we understand. You understand? This is the heart. Yerushalayim, it's the heart. The Beis Hamikdash, it's the heart. The heart of the world. The heart of Eretz Yisrael, the heart of a Jew. It's in front of the king. In front of the king, we're going to be gay in front of the king. You think the Almighty's presence can tolerate that? When was the country up in arms? Who's up in arms? Just the Haredim in Yerushalayim. The Haredim in Bnei Brak. All the Muslims, all the Christians in Yerushalayim. That's where you find them, right? They're upset. Right? Jew in Tel Aviv cares? Jew in Haifa cares? Nobody cares. So, you know, it doesn't work. It's a holy land. The holy land can't take all these things. These things that are going on now is to help us. It really, for us, should wake up in us what the Beis HaMikdash is. What it really is. What Shabbos is. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zoicha to wake up a little bit. That's all Hashem wants. That's all Hashem wants. If we wake up a little bit, all the fighting will stop. To the degree that we can wake up, Mirtz Hashem, we should be zoicha for peace very quickly.